From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. It's been a minute since Dominic Bachaco and I have been in studio. What's going on, Dom?
Another night in the Pac-12.
By the way, you are listening to this podcast either via the Wildcaster app or Tucson.com or Apple Podcasts. Make sure you give us a, you know, hit that little subscribe button. Make sure you guys follow us on Apple Podcasts. So this is the official podcast of Debonair Dutrieve, Dominic Bachaco, with a game on the line, tied up at 72. Justin Coleman misses a shot. It goes off the rim. Debonair Dutrieve, who, by the way, is known for rebounding the ball for a guard, he gets the putback and gets the last second bucket at the buzzer, lifts Arizona over Oregon State, 74-72. Arizona gets a win on the road, their first win in Pac-12 play on the road since the Bay Area schools in January. Huge win, Dominic Bachaco. What's your overall reaction from this game?
which direction can we go here? I mean, first of all, the shot by Dutrieve was just massive. I mean, he was in the, Sean Miller said it post-game, right place, right time. That's the best way to describe it. Terrible shot by Justin Coleman. Terrible last possession offense by Arizona. But Debonair Dutrieve saved the day, and he is. I've said it frequently this year, maybe off the airwaves, about how likable this guy is, because every time he's on the court, he doesn't play much. He gets a few minutes, whether they're scrap, whether they're rotating player in between, rotating players in and out. He doesn't play a lot, but when he does, he always has a big dunk or a big steal, or he has some kind of play. He always has some kind of play. I mean, he finished with, 9-5 tonight? Nothing flashy. Mm-hmm. But he had the biggest shot possibly, without a doubt, of Arizona's season.
That's a good point right there. I mean,
You look back, singular shots. Wow. You think of Justin Coleman's shot that he hit. UC Davis. When they almost lost to UC Davis at McHale Center. Yeah, the Justin Coleman shot there. But, I mean, this one, just with what's on the line, I mean, how big this game was, Justin, to keep Arizona in the hunt. Somehow, we're still talking about Arizona in the hunt for a first-round bye in the Pac-12 tournament. They're now 8-8, back to 500 for the first time since a loss, I believe, to Washington. They're hanging around. And tonight, for me, it kind of proved it was a make or break game for them. It was either going to prove that maybe they can hang around and stick this thing out in a weak Pac-12 and win some games down the stretch now that they're, coming into Thursday night, they were healthy. Or they're just going to kind of fall off into the night and go down quietly.
This wasn't a game that Arizona played against Oregon. It was a back-and-forth battle. Well, it was a back-and-forth battle. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like it was super easy for Arizona. This was probably one of their more difficult wins of the season, I would say, because you're on the road, number one. Number two, Chase Jeter then leaves the game with apparent left knee injury. He gets tangled up with Trace Tinkle. Oh, surprise. I tweeted this out. I said, Trace Tinkle is Chase Jeter's Grim Reaper. Because remember the first matchup, Chase Jeter went down with a back injury because Trace Tinkle undercut him unintentionally, and he left the game for that. This game in Corvallis, Trace Tinkle
left the next few games for it.
Trace Tinkle gets tangled up with Chase Jeter. Chase Jeter starts grabbing his left knee, walks off the court. Trainer Justin Kokoski and Jeter walk into the locker room. Chase Jeter then comes out wearing a left knee compression sleeve brace thing, whatever you want to call it. And he gets back into the game. He checks into the game. And then maybe 5 seconds into action, he looks over at Miller and was like, nah, man, I can't do this. I can't tough this one out. You guys are going to have to win this one without me. Then Miller takes him out. So you're left with Ryan Luther and Ira Lee as your front court. Oh, by the way, guess who fouls out with the last, in about 4 minutes left in the game? Ryan Luther. So then Arizona is left with Ira Lee as their starting center. 6 foot seven Ira Lee.
Against a 7 foot Kyler Kelly.
Shout out Jesse Perry, by the way. So you had all these incidents happen. Oh, and plus, I didn't even mention Brandon Randolph. It looked like he got his tooth knocked out. Something going on with his mouth. He didn't actually get his tooth knocked out. I'm just speculating there, but he was grabbing his mouth, had a towel.
Had a towel on it, yeah.
He was in some serious pain. You had all these incidents, like I say, happen for Arizona.
A couple foul outs.
Who else fouled out? Ryan Luther and Brandon Williams. And they still were able to pull off the win. Like I said, Dom, I think this was without a doubt the hardest win for Arizona this season. And I'm not going to sit here and say it's the most impressive, but how they were able to stick together down the stretch and with Devonair Dutrieve capping it off, man, you talk about one hell of a game for Arizona. It's just, can they translate that moving forward?
You talk about games Arizona should have won this year. They've lost a lot of them.
Yeah.
Games that they should have won. First one that comes to mind is probably Washington State at home. And even during that 7-game stretch, there were a lot of games that they were, you know, hanging around that they maybe should have won later. I mean, just a lot of games this year that should have gone Arizona's way that haven't. And you look at games where they shouldn't win. Tonight was probably one of them. Oregon State was the favorite. They're at home. They're the number three team in the conference. You know, they're one of the most talented teams in the conference. And that's just the state of the Pac-12 run right now. And Arizona had to go into an environment on the road and beat one of the best teams in the conference to really get things going. Because the time is now for Arizona. They need momentum now. I think I said it probably maybe even a couple weeks ago. March starts for Arizona now. I mean, almost literally, it's March 1st on Friday now. So. But look, they got to get going. And to show that kind of grit that they did at Oregon State on Thursday night, they hadn't really showed that this year. I mean, I can't think back to a time where I go, you know what, that was a gutsy win. Even in losses, I can't think of a time when Arizona kind of battled it out and made you think at the end of the night, wow, that team looked like something. That team looked like they can go win some games.
Yeah.
And look, I'm not trying to hype up Arizona basketball. Obviously, the team is not up to Arizona basketball standards this season. But it is what it is. They're in a weak Pac-12 conference. They know what they have to do ahead of them. They have to go win the Pac-12 conference to get into the NCAA tournament. You're going to have 12 teams in Vegas who can all probably say the same thing. They need to win to get in. Maybe with the exception of Washington, until they lost to Cal on Thursday night. So now it might legitimately be a one bid league. And that's going to make things really interesting in Vegas. I think you're going to have a lot of games that go down to the wire that are hard-fought, gritty games like you saw in Corvallis on Thursday night. And I think I said this at the beginning of the year. If there's one thing that you can have in a bad conference to make it entertaining, it's competitive games and a lot of teams with a shot to win. I don't think there's any favorite in the Pac-12 right now. Sure, Washington's probably still there. You can say Arizona State. I wouldn't put all of my chips into either one of those two schools against anyone in the conference, with the exception of maybe Washington State, Cal, you know, your bottom feeders. But look, this conference is vulnerable. Every team's vulnerable. Arizona knows what's in front of them. They have to win out in the regular season. Look, we were talking about this earlier, Justin. The fact we're still talking about Arizona getting a first round bye in the Pac-12 tournament is just absurd. But they're here. They're in position. Right now, Washington and Arizona State have a hold on the first and second seeds at 13-2 and 10-6 respectively. Oregon State and Utah are right behind at 9-6 for the third and the fourth seeds. Behind them is a plethora of teams, including UCLA at 9-7, and then Arizona, Stanford, and USC in a tie for sixth at 8-8. If Arizona were to finish in a tie with the three teams above them right now, UCLA, Utah, and Oregon State, at whatever record, Arizona would be in with a first round bye. That is excluding Stanford and USC. So looking at the three teams with a better record than Arizona right now, that's UCLA, Utah, and Oregon State. If they were all to tie for the final two first round byes, the Pac-12 tournament, Arizona would be in.
Wow.
So
Wow.
The road ahead for Arizona is pretty clear. You got to keep winning games.
Very much so.
I mean, you got to have the mindset that you can't lose again. Mm-hmm. They need all, and if not just for momentum, I mean, they need a spark. They need, and tonight may very well be that.
You want to play your best basketball at the end of February and especially March. Am I going to sit here and say Arizona's playing their best basketball right now? I mean, what are we looking at here? What is the comparison? Are we comparing Arizona to the start of the Pac-12 season? Okay, well, I could sit here and say, yeah, but they also beat...
They almost beat Gonzaga.
They almost beat Gonzaga?
The number one team in the country. They almost beat the number one team in the country. They had them on the ropes up double digits in the second half.
And...
So, no, they're not playing their best basketball right now.
And you can also look back at the start of the Pac-12 season, okay? Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. they beat Utah and Colorado at home, and then they beat the Bay Area schools on the road. Well, I guess that win against Cal on the road actually looks even more impressive. Shout out to Washington. But I don't think Arizona's playing their best basketball right now.
Mm-mm.
These next two games against Oregon this weekend and then against ASU next week – this is huge for Arizona. If they were to beat both Oregon and ASU and have other things go right for them inside the conference, you're looking at them getting a top four seed in the Pac-12 tournament. And I'll tell you what, even it doesn't matter if Arizona gets in the top four or even if they end up playing on a Wednesday game. I tell you what, if Chase Jeter is healthy and Brandon Williams is 100% healthy and good, teams in the Pac-12 don't want to play Arizona. Arizona is the last team a lot of these Pac-12 teams want to play. And especially a team like Washington, with that loss against Cal, that hurts them so much more than people know. Sure, they clinched the Pac-12. Ooh, big whoop. They're the regular season champs, okay? Arizona's streak of winning the Pac-12 regular season comes to end, okay, at two in a row. It doesn't matter, because in 2012, Washington won the regular season title. They lost in Vegas, and then they ended up not making the NCAA tournament. No Pac-12 team got into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And Arizona right now, if they were to face Washington in the Pac-12 tournament, I can't believe I'm saying this, I might actually favor Arizona because...
Wow.
Listen, I know I sound crazy here. And that's only if... Chase Jeter is healthy.
Everybody's healthy. Right?
I don't know what Chase Jeter is going to be like moving forward. How is that knee going to hold up? He missed the rest of the game against Oregon State on Thursday night. How is he going to look moving forward? I don't know. But if they were to face Washington in the Pac-12 tournament, I might give that little edge to Arizona because they got a healthy team and Mikhail Super North. T-Mobile Arena, and I guarantee it, I don't know what the atmosphere is going to be like in Las Vegas, but Arizona fans might treat this as, wow, this is do or die. Like, this is our NCAA tournament. This is March Madness for us. This isn't like, oh, hey, let's go watch Arizona run the tables and get drunk while doing it. No, this is, like, the real deal. If Arizona wins, they survive. If they don't, they're packing their bags and come back home to Tucson, and oh, by the way, enjoy an NIT.
The problem with that is that every single team in the Pac-12 tournament is going to have the same mentality, the same attitude.
You're absolutely right.
And I want to circle around a couple things that you just talked about, Justin. First of all, this quote from Miller, which is almost verbatim what you just said. Quote, "I'm thrilled that we were able to win. It was a big game for us. There's always teams who put it together at the end of college basketball, and it is so much about the finish in March and late February. We want to be playing our best." Again, Arizona's probably not playing their best right now.
No.
But look, when you look at, in terms of talent, and by the way, all this regular season championship means for Washington is that they have locked in an at-large bid in the NIT tournament. That's really all regular season championships mean in college basketball is the NIT awards you an at-large bid. So Washington's in the NIT at the very least. Arizona, you probably can't say that about. Tonight helped. Thursday night helped. But look, if you look at the most talented, quote unquote, best teams in the Pac-12 right now, you'd go Washington. I'd throw Arizona State there.
Yes.
And I don't know if you can have name me a better team than Arizona outside of those two.
Maybe UCLA.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, even they've been, they've been just as vulnerable as Arizona at times this season. So yeah. Look, Arizona, for as bad, for as lousy as they've been all season, especially in Pac-12 play, they have the pieces to make a run in a very lousy Pac-12 conference. And they haven't been good this year, but they also, more importantly, they haven't been good enough when they need to be. Thursday night, they didn't play great basketball. They didn't play their best basketball we've seen this season, but they played good enough to go on the road against one of the best teams in the conference and get a win. And that's huge. That's all Arizona needs to worry about. They don't need to play clean, perfect textbook basketball. They just need to play good enough to win. And we talked about that early in the season, where is this going to be an Arizona team that, even though they're not at their best, even though they're not up to par with what everyone expects Arizona basketball to be, can they grind out wins, whether it's on defense, which by the way was pretty bad at Oregon State on Thursday night, can they do it with streaky three-point shooting, whatever it may be, can they get it inside to their big guys, whatever it may be. They need to find ways to win, and they need to be good enough, and that's why Thursday night was so big, because for a change, for the first time in a long time, they were good enough.
I'm starting to see a trend here. What was going on when Arizona, like you said, was playing their best basketball against Gonzaga? Brandon Williams was proving that, yeah, he does belong in college basketball. He is a star freshman guard. Oh, and by the way, Brandon Randolph was also probably playing his best basketball of the year.
With Brandon Williams.
With Brandon Williams.
Emphasis on with Brandon Williams.
And that's just it right there. We talk about Chase Jeter. We talk about Justin Coleman being the leaders of this team. If the Brandons play together, Arizona's got a chance at this thing. But that's only if the Brandons play together. Mm-hmm. Because Brandon Williams and Brandon Randolph, I mean, you look back at the Stanford game, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. But before then, Brandon Randolph has struggled, and Brandon Williams has been hurt this entire time. It just seems like those two benefit off each other. They feed off each other. I don't know what it is about them, but when those two are on the court at the same time, things happen for Arizona. Look at Brandon Randolph. 7 of 8 from the field, had 15 points. And he did not attempt a single three-pointer. Now, he was being aggressive during that game, but he didn't get a lot of foul calls. I think Brandon Randolph, if he continues to be aggressive, eventually he's going to get to the line. Mm-hmm. And that's where he's going to get his points. And I think we're going to start to see Brandon Randolph and his scoring really start to take off here down the regular season stretch and going into Las Vegas. Now, Brandon Williams can remain healthy. You know what? Maybe him fouling out was a blessing in disguise, because they still won the game and he was limited, so he can get off that knee.
That's also the most impressive thing. Maybe we've kind of circled around this tonight, but this is the main point. They were able to do all of this and win in Oregon State without Brandon Williams, who fouled out, without Brandon Randolph at times, who had took a shot to the mouth and was hurt, without Chase Jeter, who left, without Ryan Luther, who fouled out, and Some iffy defense by Ira Lee, who was forced into a center spot against one of the best shot blockers in all of college basketball, and Kyler Kelly. So the odds were stacked against Arizona in every way, shape, and form on Thursday night. Justin, you make a good point about Brandon Randolph and getting to the line. When he gets to the line, Arizona's nearly unbeatable. They're now, how many free throw attempts did he have tonight? Do you have stats in front of you?
He only had two free throw attempts.
Two free throw attempts. Still, these numbers still hold up. Arizona's 8-0 this season when Brandon Randolph shoots more than 5 free throws. 5! That's all he needs. 5 free throws. 6. More than 5. So 6 free throws. Arizona's 8-0. They've never lost.
Shout out to LeVar Ball. Never lost.
He averages 18.5 points in those games when he takes more than five free throws. Furthermore, in games that he has played with Brandon Williams this year, that's 23 times, he has scored in double figures 21 out of the 23 games with Brandon Williams on the court at the same time. In the six games without Brandon Williams, he did it just once. So it's tough to undersell the value Brandon Williams has on this team. Maybe not straight up in the overall team numbers? Because we've talked before about how their point averages don't really differentiate that much. It doesn't do that much on defense. So when you look at it on a straight up on a stat sheet, it might not do that much. But the effect Brandon Williams has on his teammates is, you can't talk about it enough. And if not just Brandon Randolph.
Yeah.
I mean, Williams and Randolph together on the court at the same time, those are two guys who can shoot, who can heat up in a hurry. They're two guys who are good when they're getting to the rim. Stop me if you've heard that with a former Arizona Wildcat guard before. Shout out Alonzo Trier. We're name dropping left and right on this podcast.
A lot of shout outs.
Look, Brandon Randolph is one of their better players. Brandon Williams is perhaps their best player in hand with Chase Jeter. I mean, this is what Arizona has. None of them are blue chip NBA prospects. I don't think any of them are as good. Look, Brandon Williams certainly, he's been good this year. He's been good. He can be good. I don't know if he's played to the standards of a five-star recruit. Yeah. I'd be interested to look at a lot of the other five-star guards in this year's draft class and see how their numbers and their time on the floor stacks up to Brandon Williams. But again, this is what Arizona has. And Thursday night, they were able to put it all together and come out with a win. And that's all they need to do. And again, Chase Jeter is a huge part of that. They need him moving forward. They need Brandon Williams at full health, which he appears to be now. Williams had a good game Thursday night. Randolph had a very good game. He led the team in scoring with 15.78 shooting. Chase Jeter was there at times before he left with injury, of course. But the three of them just need to keep finding ways to play together. Then you throw in Justin Coleman, and you're onto something. I mean, that's a team, that's a core that can win games in this weak Pac-12. Mm.
So, since we're already talking about the weak Pac-12, the conference of champions.
It's the conference of nothing. Get out of here.
Washington loses to Cal. Oh, Cal gets the big win. They are 1-15 in conference play right now.
23 straight they had lost.
23 straight.
In Pac-12 play.
The last time Cal won a Pac-12 basketball game.
Tell me about it.
Tom Brady only had 5 Super Bowl rings. LeBron James was a member of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Nick Foles had not yet won Super Bowl MVP.
Wow.
Drake recently dropped, or not recently, at the time, Drake dropped God's Plan. And DeAndre Ayton and Alonzo Trier were Arizona Wildcats. So you look at the last time Cal won a game in the Pac-12, it's been over a year. Now, the last time they won a game overall was December 21st of 2018. So their win over Washington Thursday night was the first win of the calendar year, 2019. Shout out to Cal. We're giving a lot of shout outs today. Shout out to Cal.
Happy New Year. Welcome to 2019, Cal Golden Bears, winners.
So you got Washington at 13-2, number 25 ranked Washington.
That's the best part. They just gotten ranked. The Pac-12 has just gotten a ranked team.
And they're
out. So 13 Cal. You can't script it. You just can't script it better than that.
And Washington clinched the Pac-12 in the same night. So they lose the Cal, the team that's winless in the Pac-12, and they win the conference in the same night. If that isn't the Pac-12 in a nutshell, I don't know what is.
You want parity in the conference of champions. There it is.
There's parity in the conference.
You lose
of
to
champions.
The worst team that this conference has seen in decades, and you win the conference outright.
ASU is right behind Washington at 10-6. Oregon State still at 9-6. Utah 9-6. UCLA 9-7. Arizona, Stanford, USC 8-8. Colorado 7-8. Oregon 7-8. And then, of course, Washington State and Cal, they're in a class of their own. So there's this jumble of teams that is just constantly interchangeable. Now that we're heading into this weekend and then the final week of Pac-12 play, my goodness, is this conference a circus? I would say there's no other way to describe it other than a circus.
It's a new kind of fun. It's not good basketball, but like I said before, if this is what we have and all the teams are going at each other, any team can win on any given night. You know, it is what it is. You know, Vegas is going to be, after tonight, after seeing Cal beat Washington, and could you imagine if Cal goes in and wins a game in Vegas? You know, I'm certain it could be against Arizona. Arizona might be the 5 seed. It would just be Pac-12 at its peak. And that's what a Thursday night was, on a night where Washington wins the conference kind of by default by other teams losing.
Let's just say, I want to have fun with this real quick.
Okay.
Let's just say Cal loses out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they got what?
They've locked up the 12 seed already. They can win out. They're the 12 seed. They're the one seed that's locked out. They're number 12.
But even if, let's just say they lose out.
And Washington now is the number one.
So.
Right. Lose out. 1-17.
They have 28 games.
Mm-hmm.
Do they play Stanford the next day or the next weekend? I don't know what Cal.
They got 3 games left. You would imagine one of them is against Stanford.
It is against Stanford. Okay. So let's just say they lose out. They go in 6 wins into the conference tournament. They win Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. If the California Golden Bears win the Pac-12 tournament, they are a 10-win team and probably the only bid in the conference. That, my friends, is Pac-12 in a nutshell. Can you imagine a 10-win Cal team going to the NCAA tournament?
It would be, I feel pretty confident in saying this, Justin, it would be the biggest upset
ever.
Collective upset in college basketball history.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's got to be. I mean, look, again, that's just for fun. That's not going to happen.
It's not going to
happen. Justin, you had a good tweet on this. Cal 6 wins this season. it's just the Pac-12 at its finest. Hampton, start the list with a fresh Hampton. Yes. Santa Clara, San Diego State, Cal Poly, San Jose State, and number 25, Washington. I mean, it's the Pac-12 at its finest, and it's so entertaining because it's so bad.
it's just
one night after another. You don't know what's going to happen.
Oh,
in the worst way possible, but also the best. It's the Pac-12.
Man. So what about this weekend, though? Real quick, since we only have a couple minutes left here. What about this weekend? Arizona beats Oregon. So let's say they move up to 9-8. UCLA, they don't play until next weekend. And Utah plays mm-hmm. Colorado on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Arizona, we could see them at number 5, because then UCLA would move up, and Arizona's right there knocking on the door
mm-hmm.
to get in. I'm just, my brain hurts thinking about all the different scenarios, or depending on who you are, for Arizona in this case right now.
The big game, too, that will happen next week, I think it's the final game of the season for both these teams, is Utah-UCLA, because they're both going to be on the fringe for, I mean, that could very well decide who gets the 4 seed or 3 seed, however it stacks out to be. Because if Arizona sneaks in that picture and somehow finagles a 3 out of this whole mess, you would be led to believe that it would be either Utah or UCLA. You got Oregon State there too. There's so many teams. I mean, look, how fun would it be if everyone finishes at 9-9? I mean, a lot of things need to happen.
Great.
But what if Oregon State, Utah, UCLA, Arizona, Stanford, USC, Colorado all finish at 9-9? You know,
chaos.
That's the fun with the Pac-12 is nothing would surprise me at this point. If that happens, you know, I'd we just bat an eye and go, well, we talked about it. it's not out of the realm of possibilities.
What's your bold take for this weekend? I'm looking at the Pac-12 schedule right now. Washington takes on Stanford in Palo Alto. And you have ASU at Oregon State. Then you have Utah at Colorado, Arizona at Oregon, USC. Mm-hmm. They're playing next week. Yeah, and then you got
five games this weekend,
and then you have Washington State taking on Cal.
Yeah,
what's your bold take this week?
I'm looking here. What Cal plays Washington State? That could be interesting if you're looking for a bold take. Streaking Cal Golden Bears go for 2 straight. Utah Colorado is going to be a pretty entertaining game. Arizona Oregon. Arizona should roll. Because Oregon's pretty putrid. Again, look, we've talked about predictions so often this year, and it's so impossible in this Pac-12. Washington, Stanford, I wouldn't be surprised if Stanford wins. They got some guys, but I don't know. I mean, Washington's just too good to lose, to get swept in the Bay Area, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Is that a bold take? I mean, that could be a bold take, though, if you want to take Stanford over Washington. Arizona State, Oregon State.
Well, I didn't think Oregon was that good, but they just blew out Arizona State.
And that's what I'm saying.
I mean, you know, what is going on? I can't even, if I were to pick just for fun, upset of the weekend, I guess I would go... I think you have to go Cal over Washington State.
Upset.
Yeah, I think you got to do it. What do you like?
I like Oregon State over ASU.
I can get on board with that too.
In a close one.
They might be favored.
In a close one. I got.
Which is, hey, second, third place teams, that's a big game. For whoever wants to stake their claim and stay in the race for a first round bye, that's a huge game.
Trace Tinkle. Game winner.
Or Rhode Island Cheatham?
Trace for Trey.
No way he hits it on Rhode Island Cheatham. Why do I feel like this isn't Cheatham, the first time you've predicted a three pointer at the buzzer? One time it's going to happen. If we had a podcast earlier this week, maybe you would have done it for Dutry, but one of these times is going to happen. You're running out of days.
It's going to happen.
But March is upon us. If you're listening to this, it is March 1st, 2nd, 3rd, whenever you're. It's March. Happy March.
Happy March, everybody.
College basketball.
Happy March. Arizona Wildcats take on the Oregon Ducks this Saturday. You can watch that on ESPN2, but you better make sure you follow the Wildcaster on Twitter. Give us a like on Facebook and check out the Wildcaster Instagram page for all of your Arizona Wildcats needs. Thank you for listening to the official podcast of the California Golden Bears / Debonair Dutrieve.
Three at the buzzer.
For Dom, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening. And make sure you download the Wildcaster app, available on the App Store and Google Play.
Hi, Wildcaster fans. Come check out The Point Being, the Arizona Daily Star's opinion page podcast. We talk about current events, what's going on in the world, the letters page, and more. So check us out at thepointbeingpodcast.com.